Your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. It's in a text, we're going to look at verse 9 to get the subject of our lesson tonight. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. Look in just this piece of the verse where it says, whom resists steadfast in the faith, and look at this, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We're going to talk about afflictions tonight. I want you to see that in verse 9 so that your mind is thinking about afflictions. And now let's go up and read, beginning with verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you tonight, please, to help us. And I pray, Lord, that you will use what we're studying tonight to truly minister to all of us that are here. The words in this text, Father, are very powerful and very helpful. But we're weak and frail, and we need help at times when there are afflictions. Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to impart your words to our minds so that we understand them, so that we can reasonably respond and reply to them, and help us, Father, to not only receive them in our minds but also in our hearts, so that, Lord, they become something that changes our life, something that ministers to our heart to help us from the inside out. May they minister to our spirit, Father, so that we can grow by the things that we learn tonight. We pray for Tony and the teens. We pray for the Bible club teachers and the children that are in Bible clubs tonight. We ask you, please, to help them abundantly with so much that you're teaching them. May they apply the doctrines, not only to learn them, but to apply them and to live by them, become obedient to your words. For we ask you to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Tonight, what we're going to talk about is these afflictions here. He said, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I've become aware in my own life, I've become aware in the lives of some of our people here in the church, become aware in the lives of some of our friends who can communicate with us who are not in this church, part of the same body, that, you know, this time of year, sometimes, and this happens to be one of those times, and this happens to be one of those years, people go through trouble. You know, and you look around and you think, boy, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, how nice it is to be able to sit down with family and enjoy some time together and get a little time off and settle down and work maybe not so hard. And a lot of times it's not like that at all. A lot of times it's, and the thought that it should be better at this time of year for some reason seems to exacerbate the pain or the suffering or the concern that arises in a time of affliction. And so the question is, you know, what do we do about this? What's happening? How do we respond to afflictions in our lives? And this text and one other that we'll see tonight are going to give us some way to be careful and respond in time of affliction. And the first thing we want to notice is you need to humble yourself. We need to humble ourselves. He says here in the last part of verse 5, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Afflictions, when they come, and they come in a variety of things. They come in your health. They come in your finances. They come with your children. They come with something somebody else who's very close to you is suffering. They come with feelings. You may look at your life and everything seems to be rosy, but on the inside you are just weighed down with a problem, and you're wondering, what in the world am I going to do about this? And what happens sometimes with that affliction is that pride wells up. Pride wells up. And the reason is you're already thinking about yourself a lot because you're hurt. Emotionally or hurt physically or hurt financially. And what happens is God has people in your life that are very important to you. Here he says, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. And it is real easy to try to deal with the pain of an affliction by fighting. Sometimes that affliction, Peter talks about it a lot in his epistle, sometimes that affliction seems to be imposed on you by others, and so you're wanting to fight against those. Sometimes those things come, and let's say they are a health concern, you got cleared up and got a good report, but not everybody does. Not everybody does. And there's a tendency to react to that, and he says for us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Because you know what eventually happens? Eventually what happens is you know there's a God in heaven that can fix the problem. And when he doesn't intervene to fix the problem, who do you get mad with? The God who could fix the problem. And you're mad at him because he hasn't done it. And so what he says is, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you as soon as you humble yourself. Is that what it said? What did it say? That he may exalt you when? In due time. Well, who knows when that time is? Not us, because if we're dealing with affliction, the due time is 3 weeks ago, Lord. A year ago, Lord. And he said, no, it's not time yet. And so eventually what we have to recognize is it is easy to get proud and get fussy with God. And he says, humble yourself. I will exalt you, but not until due time. The second thing to notice is in verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He does care for you. And so the second thing to remember in responding to afflictions, first of all, is stay humble. Stay down. Don't fight with God on it. And secondly, cast your care on God. It is easy to take the care on yourself. It really is. It's easy to load yourself down. Once you're hurting, every little thing adds pain. And once you're hurting, it is easy to wallow in the mire. And God says, I do care for you, though it may not seem like it because I haven't fixed the problem. I do care for you, and I want you to cast all your care on me. Oftentimes what happens in affliction, whatever it may be court. You don't know what it is. But whenever there's affliction, it's easy at some point to get the idea that God doesn't care anymore, or to become so overwhelmed with the concern that you quit going to God with your concern. And he says, I don't want you to ever stop coming to me with that care. I want you to cast it, and I don't want you to cast some of it. I want you to cast all of it on me. What's he telling us in the first two things? We have got to maintain, as hard as it is, and it is hard, we've got to maintain a right relationship with the Lord. And that's hard to do. When you are weighed down with concern, it is hard to do because the only thing on your mind is, I'm having a problem and this problem needs to go away. Somebody has to do something. And when you can come to the Lord humbly, and you can come to the Lord as if recognizing that there is somebody who cares, then the relationship and fellowship with you have that you have with the Lord can continue to grow during the time of affliction. You know, Peter and Silas got thrown in jail in Philippi, and they had the presence of mind and the presence of heart to sing praises and to pray that night. Fortunately, that night there was also an earthquake, and they were out of jail by the next morning. Don't you wish all of our affliction could go away in a day? And it doesn't often do that, but what they did there certainly instructed us. David, in when the men in Ziklag, the men had come back to Ziklag and found all their possessions gone, and their wives gone, and their children gone, they got mad at David, because David was the one that led them down there a year and a half before that, or whatever it was, 14 months before that, to go down there to run from Saul and to be with King Achish, who was now going into battle with Saul, the Philistines against Israel. And David was traveling with the king, and his men were traveling with the king like his private secret service. They were going to defend the head of the king. And the wise men that counseled the king said, what better way for David to reconcile himself with Saul than to kill you in battle? Now that's pretty smart. So David, you need to leave. David went back to Ziklag and everything is gone. And so his men decided they wanted to stone him. And the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Listen, the circumstance at the time that David encouraged himself in the Lord, the circumstance hadn't changed. The city was still burned, the children were still gone, the wives were still gone, the possessions were still gone, and the men were still mad. But the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord, and when you read the Psalms, you understand this isn't the first time that David ever figured out how to be encouraged in the Lord in the face of bad circumstances. He did something, evidently, I read it and I look at that and I think, he did something that he was already used to doing. And what God is telling us here is, get used to casting all your care on me, even when you're deep in affliction, because I do care. But I also know the due time. And stay humble, don't fight with me, stay under my mighty hand. The next thing to recognize here is that it's a great time of vulnerability. Look at verses 8 and the first part of verse 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So the next thing to do is resist the devil, because when you are wounded, he's coming. He's coming. And he's very clever. You know already, if you've ever seen any, you may have seen this live, you may have been in a situation where you've been where you've seen a coyote attack a deer or a lion's attack prey. If not, you've probably seen it on some television like Discovery or National Geographic. What do the predators do? They wait until they find one of those animals that's separated from the herd, and then they attack. And generally, if they can, they'll attack one that's wounded. Afflictions wound you. They hurt. They occupy your mind, as you already know from experience, and we've already heard testimony recently. They get in the way of your Bible reading. They just mess with you. And at that time, when you're hurting, at that time when you're wounded, it is very easy then for the devil to come very subtly. Lions don't roar 100 miles away and 50 miles away and 25 miles away. They roar when they've sprung. By the time they roar and you look back, you're toast. So they're very subtle, and what you have to do is you've got to be very, very careful that you don't allow yourself to be caught by the devil. You have to resist the devil. You have to recognize that some of the things that you feel and some of the things that you're going through may not be associated directly with the affliction. They may be associated with the way you're reacting and responding to the affliction. In other words, you may have a spiritual influence in your life that's coming from the devil that is jading you and crippling you and causing problems with other relationships, with other people that you have. It's affecting you. You know, for instance, with bitterness, you got to be careful with bitterness because it doesn't just affect you. It affects other people. Many are defiled. You got to be careful with spiritual attacks because oftentimes they affect you, but they affect other people that are close to you that get affected by the same thing. So you have to be aware, I'm vulnerable at this time and I've got to stay close to God. It's further evidence how close we have to stay to God and in what capacity we stay close to God, humbly and caringly, because the devil can insert himself in the middle of that relationship. He didn't come to give you a hard time. He came to do what? To devour you. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, he was talking about himself being the good shepherd, and that he had come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But he also described the devil, and he says he's only come to kill, right? And to destroy, to steal and to kill and to destroy. And man, he can get in the middle of an affliction like this and tear you to pieces. You've seen this perhaps, but sometimes in families where there's a death of a child, maybe even a child that's had a little bit of age, a little time with the family, within 5 years, sometimes the parents are divorced. And you realize when you look at this that what happens is one maybe begin to blame the other. Maybe the other one says, you didn't love them as much as I did. You don't understand how I feel about this. And there's pressure in there, and then the devil comes very subtly and adds pressure and adds war, and now something where you could have comforted each other becomes a major blow up. Pride enters into the thing and there's destruction. You've got to be very careful. Very careful. Because you're weakened. Another thing in responding to afflictions is found in verse 9. We've already been there. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. I can't stress that enough. You cannot lose your faith in God. That's what he's going to attack is God, I can't believe some of what I'm reading. Don't lose your faith in God. And then here in verse 9, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What's he saying? You got to remember, others are afflicted also. You're not the only one going through this. The other day, I received a phone call, and the person that I was talking to has gone through some very serious things over a long period of time. Very legitimate problems. But it had come to a place where literally this person was overwhelmed by these things, these afflictions. And we had a conversation. And then it was so sad, heartbreaking. To have that conversation and then just spend a great deal of time that day in prayer, but which is what you would do when you've had that kind of conversation with somebody that you love. And so the next day, we had another conversation after I sent a text. And in the text, I was able to relate to this person another person's affliction. And I didn't say, oh, by the way, you think you got it bad, you ought to know what this person has. It wasn't that kind of text. It was, I learned something from this one person that's in affliction that I was able to relate to this other person that's going through affliction. And when this person replied, they said, it was helpful to know the need of somebody else. And it is helpful for us to understand we're not in this alone. There are other people that are going through afflictions. By the way, they are experiencing the same afflictions among the brethren, and they are the same afflictions that take place with people in the world. Some of you have had to bury a loved one, and we have talked, and you said to me, I honestly don't know how people who are not saved go through this. But may I tell you something? People who are not saved do go through this. We're not singled out just because we're Christians. The world and life are filled with afflictions, and they're common among Christians, and they're common among those that are in the world. And it helps us to remember there are other people who had to go through this. And there are other people who had to go through this that made it through this. So, in responding to afflictions, stay humble, cast your care on God, resist the devil, and remember that others have to go through this, or are going through this. But it's also helpful to know this, that in the due time, Romans 8:28 is true, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God is going to do something in spite of this affliction, with this affliction, through this affliction, that's going to help you. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered, how long? A while. Now you got to remember, a while for the Lord's not quite like our while. He said to His disciples, yet a little while, and I will return. That's been 2,000 years ago. So you don't know how long that little while is right there, but you got to remember in the context of things that may be a little bit longer than next week. And notice He says, after that you have suffered a while. Not while you're suffering. After you've suffered a while. The same God who's allowing it to go on, He says, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Remember, in responding to afflictions, when you've left these things in the hand of the Lord, He's actually working something for your good. He's trying to strengthen you. We know that we put metal through fire to strengthen it and temper it. We know that there's soon to be college football playoffs. Some of you are excited about that. Those teams are working when everybody else is at home opening Christmas presents and enjoying family vacations. And the kinds of things those players endure in order to prepare for these championship games are not easy. They're hard workouts, they're grueling, they've got, you know, signs on their locker rooms, no pain, no gain, and all that other nasty stuff. But all that they go through that are hardships are things to make them perfect, to establish, to strengthen, to settle you. And while you're in the affliction, you don't realize, you can't realize that you're getting stronger, that God is perfecting you, that He's establishing and settling you. But He is. And that's why we have to humble ourselves under His mighty hand. He's working something beneficial in the midst of something very painful and very distressing and very hard and very harsh. And after you have suffered that affliction and you come through it on the other side and you look back at where you are now, you will realize, I could not be where I am today if I had not gone through that thing. And you'll thank God when you come out on the other side of it that you didn't get mad at Him and you didn't quit casting your care upon Him and you didn't get devoured by the devil. And because you will remember that there are others who go through those afflictions, we don't need to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 to find out how you'll be able to minister in consolation to somebody else that goes through this, but you will be able to. And you'll not, listen, you won't be judgmental when you do it. You'll be very compassionate because you know exactly how it feels. And God will be able to use that strength and that settling for you to be there for them when they come through something like this. In another text, I'd like to just show you one more thing. There's enough in this text right here to satisfy your desire to know how to respond in afflictions. But there's one other thing. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, because this is something that is very common to the problem. You can go through your Bible and you'll learn much more than what we're seeing tonight. But this little piece right here, at the present time, is very real to me and to you in your time of affliction. Romans chapter 5, we're going to want verses 3, 4, and 5, but let's read into the context. Therefore, being justified by faith, verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, your peace that passeth all understanding really gets challenged in afflictions. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. You couldn't possibly do it without grace. And thank God you're still standing. You didn't succumb. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. I haven't. It's hard to do that, you know. He says here, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing this. This is what knowing that, number one, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given to us. That word in the middle of all those things in verses 3, 4, and 5, in the middle of all that tribulation, patience, experience, and love, is hope. And you know what happens in affliction that lasts for a period of time? You get hopeless. You do. You can get hopeless. You're just like, man, there is no way out of the situation I'm in. I don't see any hope. And it's important to remember in affliction that the first thing you get isn't hope. The first thing you get is patience, which means that the affliction generally has lasted a little period of time, a little while. Peter said, a little while. Patience, and that patience doesn't yield hope; it yields experience, and that experience is what yields hope. I talked to a person, and I didn't come up with this. But I think it's really good. She said to me, I'm not hopeful about the affliction that she's in. She said, I'm not hopeful and I'm not hopeless. I just hope. You're going to need to think about that one for a little while. Because you see, hopeful says, this is going to change. Hopeless says this will never change. And hope says, I'm not looking at the circumstance now, I'm looking at God. Right? Our blessed hope, our hope is in God. It's not in the outcome. Our blessed hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happens is that we go through this thing and get enough experience to find God in the process. That's why Paul says, hope maketh not ashamed. You're not ashamed of God. But the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It's in that that we find the depth of our hope in God and the depth of our love for God. But it doesn't come when the affliction first starts. It comes after a little time. In other words, not only are you established, not only are you strengthened and perfected, but your hope now is solidly in the Lord and your love is solidly in the Lord in spite of the outcome. And that, I'm telling you what, that is graduate school right there. That is a PhD in the proper response to affliction. And it's hard when you're hurting, and it's hard when you're feeling hopeless. It is very hard to look up and say, I love you more now than I did before this started. Don't expect that you should be able to. There should be no expectation for that or for the hope. It comes with time. People sometimes beat yourself up and you're ashamed of yourself. I ought to be loving God more in a time like this. I ought to be having more hope in God than a time like this. Well, no. He says, let me give you some patience before we start worrying about that. Let me give you a little experience before we start worrying about that. And after you got some of both of those, you'll have some hope, but the hope won't be in a positive outcome in the morning. It'll be in me. And you won't be ashamed of yourself because you'll know that I love you and you love me. But let me have some time with you. That's hard to do. That's hard to do. But we've been instructed in the words of God, and if we respond that way, just stay humble, cast our care on God, resist the devil because he will love to capitalize on your weakened state. Remember, you're not alone. And wait for the potter to build the strength. And wait for the potter to give you hope. And you'll love him for it. And you'll know he loves you. Father, thank you today for an opportunity to see these things in the words of God. I'm asking you please to help us. This is a Wednesday night crowd lesson. I sure pray, Father, that your folks that took the time to be here tonight will cherish these things. We read about these afflictions in the lives of our missionaries. We know about these in the lives of our friends. Some of us are walking through these very things right now. Please minister these words to us and help us. Comfort us by these things, for we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.